I'm glad that Suzanne and Lorna are talented that way. I really appreciate how much fun they have when they share their ministry, because it's always a blessing to my heart. I hope it's the same for you. I wanted to point out, too, I hope you've noticed that in your bulletin it points out the offerings, the special offerings that we took last Sunday. One for the Gideons was slightly over $500, and so was the Journeyman of Praise, the group that was with us last Sunday night. And if you would like a copy of that disc of their songs for $3, just the same that we do all of our discs, those will be available if you let Suzanne know about that, okay? You know, you let her, she's correcting me now. So you know how to let her know about wanting a disc is that you fill out an envelope in the back, in the basket in the back, and then when you come back to church, she'll have that for you. Okay? Yes, ma'am. It is. And as a matter of fact, I gave some hours today, so it is through September. So feel free to give that to that as the Lord calls, lead you. I think most of you, many of you know that I did not grow up in the country. In fact, I grew up in a housing project of East Nashville. Some of you know that. But I did have country cousins. And so I learned some things. There is apparently this good old boy rule book that has lots of wisdom in it. And buried somewhere deep inside there, it says, you never learn anything from getting the second time you get kicked by a mule. Well, some of you apparently understand what that means. You never learn anything the second time you're kicked by a mule. I guess that's really supposed to mean you ain't got to get kicked the first time, but if you get kicked the first time, maybe you ought to learn something, right? All right? All right, so it reminded me of, and this is what I've entitled the sermon, is Haven't I Heard That Before, Preacher? I get asked that sometimes. Haven't we covered that ground? Well, I don't know. Have we? You know, as a famous preacher used to say, you need to listen closely because you're going to be responsible for everything that you've heard or everything you would have heard had you listened. Okay, so think about that for just a moment. And part of the reason that there's repetition in sermons is because, well, we need it. How do I know we need it? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, we're going to pick up with some of the exploits of Peter, the Apostle Peter. We're going to begin in Acts chapter 10 and verse 29. You recall that Peter, of course, is meeting with Cornelius because God had given him a vision. God had spoken to Cornelius, who was not, in fact, a child of God. He was seeking God. He'd heard about this living God, and he was trying to find out more. And so Cornelius is praying, and so both of them receive information about how to get together so that Peter can tell Cornelius about the righteous living God. And so we pick up in verse 29 of chapter 10 of Acts. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do come with our praise indeed. We do thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your gospel. We thank you for our salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who is reminding us of all that Christ has done for us, of all that Christ has called us to be. Lord, help us in this time of consideration of your word, contemplation of our own lives. Help us to be mindful that we are called to be your children, a royal, righteous priesthood for the glory of Christ. For we pray in his holy name, amen. As soon, it says here in verse 29, as soon, Peter says, as soon as I was sent for, I came unto you, as soon. And then in verse 33, you see Cornelius responding with, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. Do you notice that? Again, this is some of those things that we hear and we hear again and we hear again because we need to learn it. Did you notice the urgency there? The urgency in our desire to hear from God. So Cornelius urgently had a desire to hear from God. And God responded. Urgently. Now, I'm going to ask you something. What do you believe to be the level of urgency in your life to hear from God? What do you believe to be evidently true about the urgency of others hearing from God? Well, as we consider that, please understand something. Statistically, most church members are not in worship today. On Sunday morning, typically, the minority of people who are church members show up in a house of worship. I'm not just talking about Baptists or Episcopals or Episcopalians or whomever. That is just the way church membership is. So most of the folks who are church members are not in worship on Sunday morning. I'm going to ask you again, so what level of urgency do you think we have? And I'm going to ask again for you personally, what level of urgency is in your heart? How much desire do you have to be hearing from God? I think it's interesting that both these men were talking about how quickly they responded. So there's this urgency in the desire, and there's this immediacy in our obedience to obey, in obedience to what we've heard. So the urgency to hear from God is coupled with this immediacy to be obedient to God. Is there some kind of linkage there that says the less obedient we've been to God, the less desire we have to hear further from God? Oh, wait, there may be something there. I may have stumbled upon something. You know, speaking of urgency and immediacy, you know, if we're out by the campfire and I pull a rock out of the fire and toss it to you and say, just hold that till you think about what to do with it. It won't take you long to figure out an answer, will it? And when we talk about urgency, the urgency of hearing from God, does that compare to the urgency you might have if you have a hot rock in your hand? I hope so. I hope that there's this great need to have that fire in us renewed. You know, we're wanting to get away from that hot rock, understandably. But God wants to speak to us. Please understand something. His revelation is complete in his word and through his son, right? And I want to, you've heard this from me before, but it's very important that you hear it. His revelation is complete, but it is not finished. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see the difference? God is still speaking. He's saying the same thing over and over and over that he did in these 66 books here. He still says, come unto me, all ye who are burdened. Take my yoke upon you, right? He's still saying, I love you, I've died for you, come unto me, that I can bring unto you eternal life, and that you may, in fact, abide with me forever in the Father's mansion, right? Isn't that what that message is about? And so the urgency of our lives so often is redirected, not toward God, but something else, isn't it? Don't we have other things that are taking priority over God? The immediacy of our obedience. I think that's incredibly important because you can't obey God until you what? Know what God has called you to do. Please hear that. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Isn't that obvious? One of the things I liked about being in the Army is the training was so obvious. You know, it didn't matter what you were doing. You go to jump school, and we're going to teach you how to jump out of an airplane. Hence, we call it jump school. And the whole concept of the training is doing what the instructor tells you immediately. Don't hesitate. Why? Hesitation could be fatal, right? And they would let you know that in a heartbeat with an amazing vocabulary. Some of us remember that, don't we? You see, what God is saying is the same thing over and over and over again. If you read his books, all 66 books, they're talking about his love for us. Over and over and over again, he's talking about his love for us and how he wants us to be in relationship with him. Over and over and over again. Right? And yet, we don't see the reason why God does that is for our need. Our need. Do you remember reading about the first Great Awakening in America? It lasted for a few years, and then it stopped, and then the second Great Awakening came along. Why do you suppose that would happen? Because we forget. We lose the sense of urgency. The immediacy of our obedience is gone. Immediately we are here. Look at what Cornelius said. Immediately I sent for you. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, so they have heard from God, said, this man Peter is one who can bring to you the truth, the gospel, the word from God. And so there they are at Cornelius' house, gathered together to hear from God. Immediately. You see, Cornelius is having an impact on people by his urgency and the immediacy of his obedience. Do you see that? How many times have we heard that? Because the desire of my heart is revealed in the patterns of my life. And people understand whether this is the truth that I'm seeking or something else. Because what Christ has really called you to do is to follow him. Is that not right? Isn't that what the Great Commission is? You're to follow me, and while you are following me, you will have opportunity to make other disciples. As you are going, he says, as you are going, make other disciples. Now, how do we do that? Well, they see in us that urgency and that immediacy that says, this thing is real. So we need to see that God has called us, and he's asking us to examine our hearts and see if that urgency is there. We can examine our lives and see if the immediacy of our obedience is present. Then Peter says something. Look in verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth. Now, you know I have a great deal of respect and love for Peter. But isn't that just like Peter? Because whenever Peter opens his mouth, there's a good chance that what he's going to first say might be a little bit emotional, might be just a little bit off center. Okay? I want you to be aware of that when you're reading Peter, especially as he has received this information. Please remember, what did Peter had this great revelation from God. Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Remember that? Oh, they had all kinds of answers. Oh, you're Isaiah. You're John the Baptist. You're reincarnated. You're all these people. You're the great prophet. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, up front, always says, "Well, you are the Christ, the Messiah." And what did Jesus say? "Blessed are you, because you have not received this from men, but you have received it from God." Now, please remember, that's what he said. This is some months, maybe years ago, when Peter is receiving this. "You've received this from God himself." And so, right after that, Jesus began to explain how he must go and die, how he must suffer and die and be raised the third day. And what did Peter do? "Oh, no. No, no, no. You can't do that. Lord, you must be mistaken." Now, he had just said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." But now you must be mistaken. Why? Listen, why? Because Jesus was saying something that didn't fit in with Peter's comfort zone. "Oh, you can't, if I'm going to follow you, you can't be talking about crucifixion. If I'm going to follow you, you can't be talking about dying." And Jesus looked at him and said, "What? Get thee behind me, Satan." So in a matter of moments, we go from the Son of God saying, "You've received this revelation from God Almighty. Peter, you are blessed among all men." To being said, for the same conversation, "You are like Satan, get behind me. You're a temptation to me. You're causing a problem here." Why? Because Peter's immediacy of his behavior, it was all very excited, it was all very energetic, but it was wrongly directed, right? Now, so when Peter's opening his mouth, just be sure that you test the waters carefully, because he may be speaking something that is not so, or he shouldn't be saying. When you open your mouth, by the way, are you saying something that is directed by God? Are you saying something out of your emotion? I'm just asking you. Think about it, because the truth of the matter is, if you're honest with yourself, you know sometimes you do exactly that, don't we? Don't we say things in our emotions instead of as God would have us say it? Sometimes God would have us to open our mouths and then shut them real quick. Right? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we learned that a little bit? So Peter says, "I've got something for you." Peter opens his mouth. Now listen, "I perceive. Of a truth, I perceive." It says right there in the Bible, doesn't it? "I perceive." Now, if you look at that word perceive, it's a very interesting word because it means to take eagerly. Catalambano. Catalambano, sort of a combination of Greek words, but it means to seize, to take eagerly. Now guess what Peter had forgotten? Where did he get the truth? It was a revelation from God himself. Isn't that what Christ said? You didn't know this because you're smart. You didn't know this because you spent all that time fishing. You didn't know this because some man told you. You know this because God himself has impressed it upon you. Do you get that? "Of a truth I perceive." No, Peter, you didn't perceive anything. God gave you the truth. Please hear this, Christian. You don't know anything about God except what he reveals to you. You don't know anything about the gospel except what is revealed to you. We were talking in Bible study this morning about God has used a finite creation to teach anyone who's willing to look that there's no way we will ever intellectually, I mean, for all of eternity, we will ever intellectually comprehend God. We don't know how many solar systems are in this universe. We've talked about that before, right? The scientists say plus or minus what? 2 trillion. Okay? Plus or minus 2 trillion means you don't have a foggy clue, right? And this universe is so huge and so magnificent, we cannot intellectually grasp the creation. The creation itself is finite. God himself is infinite. He has no boundaries. He is so far above us. He is as the sky is to the earth, he told the prophet, didn't he? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Please hear this. Peter saying, I perceive. I have seized upon this. I have taken this eagerly. No, no, no. He received a revelation from God. How important is that we catch that? Now, let me ask you something. What revelation is it that God wants to give you? Is it waiting on a sense of urgency in your heart? Is it waiting upon the immediacy of your obedience to things that have been previously revealed? Let me share this with you. As a matter of experience, I can promise you this has been true in my life, and I believe, therefore, it will be true in the lives of all Christians, that God will allow you to do whatever it is that you're going to do. But you will not move in your relationship in the positive direction with God until you do what he has for you to do. Do you understand that? Now, if you don't have any urgency in your heart, if you are not like in the Old Testament says, as the deer panteth by the water, you know, have you ever really, really, really been thirsty and not had water to drink, not had anything to drink? That's the urgency of our hearts that God's Word is talking about. And because the truth of the matter is, let's be honest, most of the time, we're not that desperate to hear from God. We're just not that desperate. We'll take it as we get a chance. But please understand something. God is telling us, the revelation that I have intended for you is waiting upon your urgency of your desire and the immediacy of your obedience. As we said earlier, most of the people who are church members are not in a house of worship today because of the level of their desire. There are folks that are sick. There are folks that have to work. We understand all that. That's true every Sunday, right? But there are people who have whatever, another priority than worship, right? Because the urgency is not there. I perceive. Well, let me ask you a question now. This is after three years of ministry with Jesus, because Peter was among the first of his disciples, right? So after 3 years of ministry with Jesus, Peter's going to say, let me tell you what I've learned. But the thing he's forgotten is just that. He didn't learn the most important things. I want to take you to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Now, we're going to stop right there because I think that covers everything we need to for that moment. And that is that Jesus said, I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, please understand something. He's making it clear to them that they're to leave behind what they have been doing in their life and pursue something else. The pursuit of Christ, the pursuit of his blessing, of his ministry, needs to be one of urgency and immediacy. Straightway, the Bible says, the King James says, straightway, immediately, they left behind their nets. They said, we're not fishing for men, for fish anymore. We're fishing, we're following after Christ to become fishers of men. Christ told them, I will make you to become. Please hear that. Because what had happened over the course of 3 years of being with Jesus, over and over and over again, Peter was changed in the way that he thought. Peter was changed in the way that he talked. Peter was changed in the way that he lived because he lived with Jesus. 3 years later, he says, because he's had a vision just a couple of days ago, right? Because he's had a vision a couple of days ago, I perceive, remember, that I should call no man common or unclean. Isn't that what he said previously? Just prior to this in the chapter? I perceive, because what? It took repetition, it took many times of going over, I will make you to become fishers of men. And it was after 3 years, did he get the picture perfectly? No, he didn't. Please hear this. Please hear that. I want to take you to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. And you may have missed this before. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Galatia, who had this problem about being telling people, if you're going to come to Christ, you must first become a Jew. Okay? And so that's what the story is in as he's writing to the church in Galatia. And he says in Galatians 2, verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Do you remember that one? That Peter and Paul had this falling out because Peter, listen, for before that certain came from James, in other words, a party came from Jerusalem, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. In other words, because Jewish folks showed up from the big city of Jerusalem, the important city, I have changed the way that I'm doing. Listen, he was living one way, but when the folks came from the home district, he changed the way he was living. And Paul said, what's going on, Peter? And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. In other words, even Barnabas, the son of encouragement, is lying about the way he's living. So they're willing to be socializing with the Gentiles and ministering to the Gentiles and all these things until somebody who has a different opinion shows up. Please hear this. Do you think there's any trait within you, any tendency within you to be something somewhere that you're not somewhere else? Well, if you're human, there's a tendency there. And I'm telling you that what Christ has said is that I will make you to become. I will make you to become. What is he doing? He was changing Peter and Andrew and James and John, those fishermen. He was changing them not from fishermen, but changing them to be more like himself. I will make you to become. And he says here, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, he's saying, you know, you're talking to these Gentile folks in one way, and you're talking to the Jewish people in a different way. Which way is it? Well, the answer is, it is so immediately obvious that the gospel is always, always the same. How consistent should we be in our lives? Did you notice that? Paul's one of those kind of guys. I mean, he just stood up and said, wait, whoa, right in front of everybody. What are you doing? Now, I'm not sure that's the way to do it. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to lovingly have confrontation in the church today. Did you hear the part where I said lovingly? Because if I'm doing something wrong, listen, Christian, I'm going to say something very powerful here. If I'm doing something wrong that you know about, you are obligated to me and to God Himself to come and tell me I'm doing something wrong. Do you hear me? Some of you don't hear me. Do you hear me? I said obligated, Christian. I didn't say you might oughta. I said you are obligated to God Himself because of what you owe Him, and by the way, what you owe me. You come to me and tell me I'm wrong. Now, we don't do that, do we? Well, we'll go somewhere else and tell, did you see what Tim did? You won't believe what the preacher's doing now. Because that's the way we are. Listen to me, that's called cowardice. That's called gossip. That is not instructed from the Bible. That's given to you by Satan. All right? Paul saw that people who know Christ knew Christ and were standing there among people who needed Christ, and they were not being consistent in their testimony. He said, what do you think you're doing? Why in the world would you possibly confuse this matter with these people here? And he was not very popular. Guess what? When you confront someone lovingly, you may not be at the top of their Christmas card list. Do you understand? Does that make a difference to you? I hope not. Not about whether you do it or not. I know you want people to like you. I like to have people like me. I like to be loved. You like to be loved. But you know what? If we will do the right thing, if we do the right thing, it will amaze us what God does in our fellowship. And by the way, what happens in our testimony in the community. One of the things that I've seen is the church becomes absolutely invalidated because what they say is so obviously a lie by the way they live. Hear me now. The church where I was ordained in Enterprise, Alabama, big church. And you talk to somebody who's outside the church, who's part of the city and been there all of his life. He says, what is it with those folks down there at that church? They act like nobody knows what's going on. An entire church's testimony can be invalidated when we don't stand and say, this is what is right. You live according to the righteousness that Christ has called us to. When we have that desire to know from God, to hear from God, we will be on the way to understanding what our next step is. But until we decide to be immediate in our obedience, we're not going to hear from God. Nothing new. The same old thing. Haven't we heard that before, preacher? Have you heard the same sermon from me before? Pretty much. And I'm sharing this with you, that you don't learn anything the second time you get kicked by a mule. God's called us. Let us be immediate in our response. Let him guide us to what he wants us to be. Let us be faithful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you indeed. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for giving yourself. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for the great privilege of being called into your ministry. We ask you, Lord, as we have this moment, help us, as you've spoken to our hearts, as your Holy Spirit has convicted us of our failings, Lord, help us to be obedient to your word. Help us to glorify Christ in this moment, for we pray in his holy name. Amen.